All right, welcome everybody. I want to focus zero in on one particular passage in the Haggadah. In order to do that, I'm first going to do what I assume is a quick review, familiar material, but just to give some context to a question I want to raise, I'm going to kind of start the first, quarter, I guess, of the shiur or so will be dedicated to talking a little bit about the overall structure of Magid, of the Haggadah, in order to look at one particular passage, this passage over here of Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Hareini Kiven Shivim Shana. That passage is the one I want to zero in on, but I want to see it a little bit in the context of the whole structure of the Haggadah. So here we go. Famously, just again to give broad context here, the Mishnah in Pesachim, the 10th perek of the Mishnah in Pesachim, is the one that describes Leil HaSeder, right? The first nine Pesachim, unlike other Masechtot in Shas, Gittin is the one that comes to mind as the one that is perhaps least logically, or at least apparently logically ordered. The actual text of a get is not mentioned until the last parak of the Mishnah. But Masechet Pesachim, on the other hand, is extremely logically, chronologically ordered Masechet, so that it opens with pre-Pesach preparations. It opens with Bedikat Chametz, the definition of chametz, then moves into Karban Pesach, which would take place on Yud Daled, and ends, Perek Yud is the culmination of the Masechet, which ends with Leil HaSeder. So it really runs you through, kind of chronologically, through everything from getting ready for Leil HaSeder through Leil HaSeder. So Perek Yud outlines, and I'm sure many of you, even very recently, have had the opportunity to learn the 10th Perek of Arvei Pesach. So again, I'm assuming that this is a quick review. So the Mishnah, Mazgulo, I'm skipping to the part, Mishnah Dalad, Mazgulo Kosheni, we pour the second cup of wine, V'kan HaBen Shoel Aviv. This is where the son asks his father, the Arba Kushyot, the Manishtana, the four questions. Rashi emphasizes the Kan HaBen Shoel. It is specifically here that the son asks questions, because after this is already the second cup of wine, and that's the first thing that kind of strikes the attention of the son to say, wait a minute, we already said Kiddush, why aren't we moving on to the meal? So this is where the son pipes in and asks his questions. V'im ein da'at baben, aviv milamzo. The son does not have enough knowledge or understanding, then his father teaches him, ma nishtama halayla hazemi kol halilot, etc., leaving out the text of the specifics of the four questions. And then, lefi da'ato shel ben aviv milamzo, according to the understanding of the son, the father teaches him, matchil bignut u'misayim b'shevach, v'doresh me'arami oved avi, ad she'gmor kol ha'parashat kula. This is really the fundamental outline of the rest of Magid. It starts with Manishtana, and then the entire rest of Magid is outlined. This is just something which I think is, I always think is worth entertaining a little bit and thinking about the fact that the description of Magid in the Mishnah is actually very fluid, right? It gives us a formula rather than something specific. Sorry, Stephanie, working on it. I have to remember how to mute everyone. hold on. Okay. Okay, background noise is gone, so I'm going to continue. Great. Thank you to everybody. Or not gone, as the case may be, but we'll try. Okay, sorry. Still trying to see who it is. Okay. I apologize, I'm feeling a little incompetent, but I cannot remember how to mute everybody right now. Press participants. Thank you, Stephanie. Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay. So the Mishnah again gives much more of a formula rather than a set text. This, by the way, is reminiscent also, if you learn the Mishnayot of Rosh Hashanah, the same, you have the same experience, which is that the Mishnah gives a formula for what the Musaf or Rosh Hashanah should be like. It has to have X number of psukim, and these are the themes. It seems to be a much more fluid type of experience, though, right? Within this formula of Matchil B'Gnud Maseim B'Shevach V'Doresh Me'Arami Oved Avi Ad She'Gmar Kol HaParsha Kula, there's actually, in the Mishnah itself, much more fluidity. We can read and interpret the passage of Arami Oved Avi. Over time, that interpretation, those drashot, have become set so that we have a pretty set Haggadah, but I always like to entertain the possibility of having a much more fluid and kind of experiential experience, right, where we just sort of go with the flow and see what happens. The piece I want to focus on is the famous machloket, right? The formula here is matchil b'gnut. We have to start with the negative and misayim b'shevach, and we have to conclude with the praise. And then we interpret the passage of Arami Aved Avi. Matchil b'gnut misayim b'shevach. The Gemara records on this in the second source. My gnut. What is the gnut that we are supposed to remember and discuss and mention to start off our magid? Rav Amar mitchila ovdei avodat gilulim hayu avotenu, Ushmuel Amar avadim hayinu. Okay, Rav tells us that we should start with the passage from Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua's closing speech to Am Yisrael before his death, where he recaps Jewish history up to his time. And he starts by saying that to begin with, our ancestors were idol worshippers. Where Shmuel says the gnut with which we are supposed to start is the gnut of slavery. Again, there's a lot to talk about in this machloket. Right now, I want to really just look at it as a backdrop to the particular passage that I want to look at. I'm going to pause for a shout out for the 6 a.m. Participation from Australia here. Hello, Miri Tarek. Everyone should be impressed. Okay. I don't know, there might be others. I just noticed Miri, so welcome to any Australian participants here. As we all know, in the machloka between Rav and Shmuel, we actually paskin like both, right? That we include both of their interpretations. We basically have, like, one can imagine that if we were alive in the time of Rav and Shmuel, if you would go to Rav's Seder, it would actually look and feel very different from Shmuel's Seder, because they would actually be discussing different texts, or at least to start off with. But we don't choose, right? We can take both. And so we really do include both of these passages, both of these types of into our Magid, our Leil HaSeder. We invert the order. We start with what seems to be the more direct answer to the son who maybe has less understanding, as the Rambam, not on this page, but as the Rambam interprets it, it seems that Avadim Hayinu seems to be the more simple version of Gnut and Shevach, and more directly relates to the story of Leil HaSeder, whereas Rav's answer takes us further back and gives us more spiritual context. And I would say is therefore the kind of more deeper and profound answer. So we start, while we still have the kids' attention, we start with the more straightforward answer. And so now we're in the actual Haggadah Shel Pesach, and we start with right after, exactly like the Mishnah tells us, immediately after the son's four questions, we move right away into the Gnut as interpreted by Shmuel, which is Avadim Hayinu. Okay, not pictured on this daf mikarot, on this page, on this source sheet, is is the continuation, right? I don't have the full Magid here, but we have these three passages that do appear on this source sheet, which we'll look at a little more carefully momentarily. We have these three passages. And then from there, we move into Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, which seems to be the introduction to the Arba Banim, the four sons. It seems almost like we start our little Haseder as we are instructed in Mishnah Dalet of Perek Yud Psachim with the son's four questions. We answer those questions with Shmuel's answer of Gnut and Shabach of Avadim Hayinu. And then we want to do Rav's version of the Haggadah of Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but we want it to be in response to son's questions. So since our live children at our Seder have already asked their questions and already been answered, we kind of invite the sons from the Torah in. We now invite the Chacham and the Rasha and the Tam and the Ein Yodei Lishol from the Torah to ask their questions. And that kind of gives us the ability to then go back to Rav's Haggadah of Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So that's what happens afterwards. So what we're looking at is Shmuel's version, right? Which again is Avadim Hayinu. Now we're actually going to read the text here. Avadim Hayinu Lefara B'Mitzrayim V'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'yad Chazaka U'Bizroa Nitzuya V'ilu Lo Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Avoteinu B'Mitzrayim Harei Anu U'Vaneinu U'Vnei Vaneinu Meshuvadim Hayinu Lepara B'Mitzrayim. Okay, so we discuss the gnut of slavery. We were slaves, and then right away we have the shevach right here that God took us out, yad chazakav zro nitzia. And had God not taken us out, we would still be mishubadim lepara b'mitzrayim. This is going to be the first of a series of statements that we're going to interject throughout Magid that are going to get us closer and closer to identifying with the story as a personal story. Here we basically say that we are secondhand recipients of the miracle of Yetziat Mitzrayim, right? That we weren't actually there, but had it not happened, we would be there, right? And as we proceed through Magid, we're going to get even closer because we're going to say B'chol Dor B'Dor. We're going to say that this is a recurring story. So even if we weren't in the original story, we were in some variation of the story. And then when we finally get to the end of Magid, we're really going to even get to the point that we're going to try to make ourselves feel ourselves that we were in the original story. So it's kind of like we go through a psychological process through Lel HaSeder of bringing us closer and closer into the story. And this is stage one, right? Stage one is that we are secondhand beneficiaries of the story. Okay, then we go on to say, Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim, kulanu zkenim, kulanu yodim atatara, mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yitzer mitzrayim, v'chol hamarbet lesaper b'yitzer mitzrayim, harei ze meshubach. Okay, we have now done, we have fulfilled Shmuel's version of Magid, of Matchil Begnud Masei Meshavach. We still have to move on to Arami Aved Avi, like the Mishnah says, but we have meanwhile fulfilled Shmuel's version of Gnut and Shavach, and we know that we want to move on to Rav's version of Gnut and Shavach. But what I want to look at here are, again, what I would call almost the filler between Shmuel's Gnut and Rav's Gnut, okay? And we have these three passages. Then again, we go on to the Arba Banim, which I think is already an introduction to Rav. But these three passages seem to complete Shmuel's Magid, right? Or at least introduce why we're not stopping, right? Because we already answer the question. The son asked some questions, and we answered them. And we were Matchil B'Gnut and Masayim B'Shavach. We gave a nice, simple, straightforward answer. So it almost seems like we now need to justify why the Seder isn't over, right? You asked the questions. We did all these funny things. You asked some questions. We answered you. We explained. So, like, that should be it. We should be done. So then we have to explain that, no, like, we're not done. We've just given the simple answer. But even the Chachamim and even the Nevonim and even the Zakenim, we have done our basics and we've answered the basic question, but the more the better, right? So we are going to continue and elaborate on the story. Okay, now we move into the next passage. Those of you who were at Rabbi Brander's year last week, so he zeroed in on the passage of the famous Ma'aseh, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shehayu Mesubim b'Bnei Brak, Shehayu Mesaprim b'Yetziat Mitzrayim Kol Oto Halayla, Ad Shabbat Talmidehim v'amru lahem Rabotenu higia zman kriyat Shema shel Shacharit. So why, I'm going to actually attempt to throw out, it's always a little risky in Zoom, but I'm going to attempt to throw out, you know, basic question to the audience here. Why is this passage here, right? We're here in this kind of in-between Shmuel's Matchil B'Gnud M'Sein B'Shevach. We know that we're headed towards Rav's version of Matchil B'Gnud M'Sein B'Shevach, and we have these kind of intermediary passages here. What would you say is the role of this ma'aseh of the Leil HaSeder in Bnei Brak in the context of the Haggadah at this point? Any takers?
I wonder if it's some sort of justification for why we're continuing the story of Maggie. You know, we've just fulfilled one version, and then this comes to remind us that they were engaged in all night, and therefore we should also continue.
100%. Thanks for the extra contribution there in the background. Yes, I would 100% agree that exactly, justification is a great word for it. As I said, it's already late. We're all hungry, and we've done it. We've answered the question. So let's move on and let's have a good meal. So we need to justify the fact that we're not doing that because kol ha-marbeh Hareza Mishubach, the more the merrier. And here we have this famous story of some of our primary chachamim who managed to fill a whole night of discussion with about Sipur Yetzer Mitzrayim. There's so much to elaborate on. So yes, I think we are justifying why we're not done. Okay, let's move on to the next passage then. And that's really what we're going to spend more. Yeah, sure.
I also think that it's a justification for the question and answer format for people who are not children. So that even if we're all adults, we still can benefit from asking questions and answering, even if they're questions that we basically know the answer to already.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Definitely agreed. I don't think that those responses are in any way mutually exclusive. I definitely agree. Yes. It serving also just justification for continuing as well as kind of encouraging or explaining the format that we're using. Okay. Mikubal, definitely accepted. Okay. Next passage. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kiven 70 shana, velo zachiti she'te'amer yetzeat Mitzrayim balelot, ad she'darsha ben Zoma, she'nemar, leman tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha ha'yamim, kol yimei chayecha halelot, v'chachamim omrim yimei chayecha ha'olam hazeh, kol yimei chayecha lahavi liyamot ha'mashiach. So Elazar ben Azariah, I keep adding the word like famously, but I guess there's no part of the Haggadah that isn't famous, right? So Elazar ben Azariah says, I was, and we all know the Kiven Shivim Shana, the Gemara on this passage says he wasn't actually 70 years. He was as if 70 years because he had overnight grown his gray hair and beard so that he would look like 70 years and be respected. And he says, I was, as learned as a 70-year-old. V'lo zachiti she'te'amer yitziat Mitzrayim b'lelot. I did not merit to have yitziat Mitzrayim said at night until Ben Zoma came along with his drasha to convince everybody that there's a mitzvah to mention yitziat Mitzrayim at night. And his drasha is based on the pasuk, which we'll look at momentarily. The pasuk which says, Leman tizkor yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. And we focus on the word kol in this pasuk, right? The pasuk says that we are supposed to remember the day that we left Mitzrayim all of our lives. So the drasha on the pasuk is yimei chayecha is referring to every day of my life, but the addition of the word kol yimei chayecha tells us that it's also at nighttime that we also have to mention Yetziat Mitzrayim. Second drasha on the same pasuk, Chachamim say, Yimei chayecha olam hazeh, kol yimei chayecha lehavi liyamot mashiach. Different interpretation of the word kol is that the pshat in the pasuk is that we have to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim every day of our lives, but kol yimei chayecha is letting us know that even in the time of Mashiach, and the Havamina here seems to be that in the time of Mashiach, perhaps the latter Geula would overshadow the Geula of Mitzrayim, and maybe we would not focus anymore on the Geula of Mitzrayim, because we'd have a more recent Geula and perhaps a greater and grander Geula to focus on. And so this, the Chachamim are telling us that Kol Yimei Chayecha tells us that Yitziat Mitzrayim as our first and formative Geula experience will remain important even Miyimot HaMashiach, when we have, Be'ezrat Hashem, another Geula experience to commemorate. Okay. Let's talk about this passage then. Joy already justified for us the previous passage. What is this passage doing here? What would you say is the role of this passage in this kind of intermediary section between Shmuel and Rav's Gnut and Shavach?
Well, on some level, it's serving like a similar purpose because it's justifying the like talking all the way through the night. And it's saying, and you know, you shouldn't think that actually this is enough because you should do it your whole life and also Yimei HaMashiach. So like furthering that same thing, I guess.
Okay. Yes. I think you're right, but I'll tell you why I don't think it's adequate this time, but I'll tell you why in a second. Just if anybody else wants to throw anything else in, I'll pause for another second. And then I'll give.
I think also because like it's discussing like I laws Ahiti, like I was never able to, it's also discussing the idea that like there is always more to learn, and that's why we do this every year repeatedly over and over again, because we can continue to learn even if we don't think that, like, of course he learned because he's who he is, but it's just teaching us that idea.
Okay.
Also, in the previous paragraph, there might have been some confusion because in the previous paragraph, it mentions that the time for Kriyat Shema of Shacharit arrived. So maybe you're wondering, like, what happened to Kriyat Shema of Maariv, or is there one even, which is what this kind of comes to discuss.
Okay, yeah, fair. I'm going to dwell on that for another minute, because, and I guess this is in response to, I think it was Miri and Stephanie who spoke before, let's look, this passage of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually does not come out of Psachim. It actually comes out of, it's a Mishnah directly in Masechet Brachot. And I think that's why Miri's answer and Stephanie's answers, even though they were both correct, weren't quite enough, because the fact that this Mishnah actually comes out, is correct, comes from the context of Kriyat Shema, and not come from the context of Leil HaSeder at all, right? So let's just look at the Mishnah in context. It appears in, scroll down here a little bit. It appears in Masechet Brachot, Perek Aleph. Quick outline of the Perek. We're not going to do the whole thing, but the topic of the Perek is Kriyat Shema, right? That's the Perek Mishnah Aleph starts with Me'ematai Korin Et Shema Ba'arvit, right? What time is Kriyat Shema in Arvit? Then moves on to Me'ematai Korin Et Shema B'Shacharit. So we're learning about the parameters of the daily mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, night and day. Then we have a comparison in Mishnah Gimel of Beit Shammai Amrim Be'erev Kol Adam Yatzu V'Yikru Ba'Boker Ya'amodu. At night, Beit Shammai says that you should stand and read. Sorry, you should lie down and read. Where in the morning you should stand. Shenamar B'Shach B'Cha B'Kumecha. He takes the when you lie down and when you get up very literally, and says that we should actually physically lie down and get up with Kriyat Shema. Beit Hillel disagrees and Kol Adam Kidarko. You should say Kriyat Shema normally, sitting normally. So we're comparing now and contrasting, actually, Kriyat Shema in morning and night. And we continue the comparing and contrasting in Mishnah Dalad by saying, again, we're comparing that there are both Kriyat Shema at night and during the day, both have brachot, be preceding and following, but we're also contrasting because the number of brachot is not exactly the same. And that's the context of Mishnah Hey, Maskir and Yitzirat Mitzrayim Balelot. We are comparing and contrasting the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema night and day. And in that context, the Mishnah says, oh, here's another difference. or actually, sorry, not a difference. What might have been a difference, but we actually then say is not a difference, is Mishnah Hey tells us that we mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. That doesn't mean that we don't mention it during the day. It means that we even mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. And that is where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah pipes in to tell us his Lo Zachiti. I didn't prove to anyone that we should mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night until Ben Zoma did, right? So the mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim at night, which is being discussed in this Mishnah, is actually the obligation to say all three passages of Kriyat Shema at night and during the day, meaning until Ben Zoma came along, it seems that the extant position was that at night you are obligated to say two passages of Kriyat Shema, both of which have the words B'shachbacha u'Kumecha, right? So the first passage and the second passage of Kriyat Shema. But it seems that the Hava Amina was that the third passage of Kriyat Shema, which is really kind of independent of the other two passages, and is there to fulfill our obligation to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Hava Amina behind this Mishnah seems to be that it would have been one of the differences between night and day in Kriyat Shema, that Kriyat Shema at night would only contain two passages, the B'shach B'cha U'V'Kumecha passages, and Kriyat Shema during the day would contain those same two passages with the addition of the Yitziat Mitzrayim passage, because we have a mitzvah to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim daily. And along comes Rav Elazar ben Azariah quoting Ben Zoma to say, no, this is actually not a difference between Kriyat Shema at night and day. We actually do also mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night because of Ben Zoma's proof. So really, in terms of the number of passages, even if the number of brachot might be different, and even if, according to Beit Shammai, the physical position when reading might be different, but in terms of the number of passages, this Mishnah actually affirms that there are three passages to Kriyat Shema night and day. And again, that is based on Ben Zoma. So now I want to kind of go back to the answers that... So I would like to... agree, I didn't catch who was the author of the last answer, but I would like to go back to the answer that perhaps this Mishnah, which actually has nothing whatsoever to do with Leil HaSeder, really maybe is here because of the reference in the previous passage to Amru Lahem Rabotenim, Ad Shaba'u Tamidehem, Amru Lahem Rabotenim, Higiyaz Man Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit, right? That the previous passage, the story of the Seder in Bnei Brak, ends with the Tamidim coming to say, it's time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit, and maybe that's how kind of by general association, we move into a Mishnah that actually talks about Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit and kind of reminds us that in addition to this all-night Seder of telling Misaprim Yitziat Mitzrayim, it carries over straight into Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit, where we have a mitzvah of another Yitziat Sipur, not Sipur this time, but Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, right? Even though we told the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim all night long, we still have to mention it again in Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit. And indeed, some of the commentaries even suggest, maybe even somewhat kind of historically, if we notice that amongst the guests at Rabbi Akiva's Seder in Bnei Brak is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he is in fact the author of our Mishnah in Brachot. Some want to even suggest that perhaps this conversation where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah proves to everyone that we have a mitzvah of Yitziat Mitzrayim night and day maybe even took place at this Leil HaSeder with Rabbi Akiva and Elazar ben Azariah as one of his guests, right? So maybe there is some loose association here. So it wouldn't surprise us in a rabbinic text if that we were doing a little free associating. So we start with Avadim Hayinu L'Par Rabbi Mitzrayim, and then we, from there, as we mentioned before, we try to justify why we're continuing. We try to explain why we're using a question-answer format. So we start talking about the need to be Marbeth Yitziat Mitzrayim. That leads us to an anecdote which illustrates some group of people who are chachamim and nivonim and zkenim and nonetheless are merbev yitziat mitzrayim kol otzah halayla, and then that leads us at the end to a reference to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and a conversation about Kriyat Shema shel arvit versus shel shacharit. So maybe there's just like a series of free associating going on here, and I think that is an adequate response to why this is here. But I would like to use now the Perish of the Malbim, who I think actually opens our eyes to a deeper explanation for why this passage is here. The Malbim on the Haggadah does say what we said until now. Kevan shezachar Reb Elazar ben Azaria bein hachachamim hamisubim b'bnei Brak shesipru b'yitzeh Mitzrayim samach bal ha'agadah lezeh mash amar Reb Elazar ben Azaria b'inyan yitzeh Mitzrayim. So again, like we just said, the Malbim suggests that since Reb Elazar ben Azaria was among the chachamim who were at that Seder in B'nai Brak, who talked about Yitzhak Mitzrayim all night, therefore the compiler of the Haggadah chose to attach a position of Reb Elazar ben Azaria here in the Haggadah, since it is a position of Reb Elazar ben Azaria which is relevant to Yitzhak Mitzrayim and telling and mentioning Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Okay, again, kind of this free associating type of response. However, the Malbim then adds a question, now forgetting the context for a minute, that the Malbim now asks a much more specific question on the language of the Mishnah itself, right? So honing in on the Mishnah itself again, listen to the way Reb Elazar ben Azaria proves his point, right? He says, I was kiven shivim shana, and I had not yet won this battle, right? I had not yet convinced everybody that Yitzhak Mitzrayim should be mentioned at night until Ben Zoma proved it. So that leads to an interesting question that the Malbim raises. So if Reb Elazar ben Azaria didn't know Ben Zoma's drasha, right? He hadn't yet interpreted the pasuk of kol yemei chayecha to mean night and day. So why did he think that we should mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night, right? The way he says it is, I always wanted us to, right? But I didn't win the arguments until I learned Ben Zoma's argument, right? But what was Ben Azaria's his own argument? Like, why did he think it was important to have, again, daily, not just on Leil HaSeder, but why did he emphasize the daily obligation of Yitzhak Mitzrayim? So the Malbim's answer to that is, Reb Elazar ben Azaria, l'shitato bebrachot. Reb Elazar ben Azaria is actually consistent with his own position, which appears in Masechet Brachot, d'chipazon huchipazon d'mitzrayim, haynu balayla. Right, it is. We'll look at this in a minute. Reb Elazar ben Azaria's position in Masechet Brachot, elsewhere, we're going to look at another sugya in Masechet Brachot, who discusses the concept of chipazon. And now I'm kind of stepping into those of you who are at Rav Alex this year. I'll just refer to everybody all week. A little intertextuality. It's okay. Right, Rav Alex talked last night. Was it last night? I think so. Rav Alex talked last night about the idea of chipazon, the idea that Am Yisrael had to rush in eating the Karban Pesach, and again, we're gonna elaborate on that more momentarily. So he is the Malbim is suggesting that Reb Elazar ben Azaria is consistent with his position about this idea of chipazon de Mitzrayim, the rush of Mitzrayim, which was at night. And his friends, his associates, Reb Elazar ben Azaria's associates, disagreed with him, and they believed that the ikar of the geula was during the day. Okay, so this is a little bit of an enigmatic statement by the Malbim, but he is at least giving us like a good footnote to how we can understand Reb Elazar ben Azaria's position. Again, what we're looking for is, why does Reb Elazar ben Azaria think, even before Ben Zoma steps into the conversation, why did Reb Elazar ben Azaria previously think that there should be a daily mitzvah of remembering Yitzhak Mitzrayim, not only during the day, but also at night? And according to the Malbim, the key to understanding Reb Elazar ben Azaria's position appears in a discussion about chipazon in Masechet Brachot. So that brings us to Chot Daf Tet, which is now on the screen. Okay, so the machloket here again has nothing whatsoever to do with Kriyat Shema. It has nothing, it has to do with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. I will definitely grant you that. But it's definitely its own conversation. Okay, so we are now in a Braita in Brachot Daf Tet. Sorry?
I was wondering whether there was also a position here that was prefiguring the discussion about why we have the Seder at night at all.
Okay, I think we're on to something here. So that, again, the discussion in the Mishnah and Brachot is not on that topic, but in the end of the day, I would like to ultimately totally agree with what you just said, that in the end of the day, I think the reason we are going to be including in our Haggadah a discussion about Kriyat Shema on a nightly basis is because, yes, I do think it does shed some light about the nature of discussion of Yetziat Mitzrayim at night versus the nature of the discussion of Yetziat Mitzrayim during the day. And yes, I think it therefore will respond to why are we here and why are they, what's the significance of Mistaprim B'Yetziat Mitzrayim Koloto Halayla, with an emphasis on the fact that it was all night and not all day. 100% I'm with you. And I think the Malbim is heading in that direction as well. Again, he only gives us like a hint and sends us to this Gemara in Brachot, and I think the Gemara in Brachot is going to, it's going to flesh out what you just suggested. So here we go. So the Braita in Brachot says, "Detanya va'achlu et habasar balayla hazeh." Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's who we were looking for, right? There he is. So the Braita is quoting the Pasuk. I'm going to kind of toggle back and forth here. Yeah, it's here. Sorry, I'll get the Pasukim on the screen as well. this is an allergy cough, just to reassure everyone. That comes from house cleaning. The V'achlu et habasar v'layla hazeh is coming from Shmot Yudbet, Pasuk Chetz, which is also on the screen right below the Gemara. So the discussion is about the time limit on eating the Karban Pesach. Okay, so when Bnei Yisrael first get the mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach, in Shmot Yudbet, it says that their mitzvah is v'achlu et habasar b'layla hazeh, that you need to eat the flesh of this Karban Pesach at night, right? And then we get the other details of eating the Karban Pesach. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, ne'emar kan b'layla hazeh, ne'emar lahalan v'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. He is quoting a pasuk that appears just a few pasukim later in the Torah. Right, it says in Pasuk Chet that our obligation is to eat the meat at night, on this particular night. And in Pasuk Yudbet, only four Pasukim later, it says, Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. Right, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking and saying, I'm going to pass through Eretz Mitzrayim, again, the same phrase, b'layla hazeh, on this night. V'hiketi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim me'adzam ve'ad behema u'b'chol el yitzrayim aseh shvatim anei Hashem. Right, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu warning Am Yisrael, preparing Am Yisrael for Makat Bechorah, right? So he says, I'm going to pass through Eretz Mitzrayim on this night. The same this night, right? The same phrase, B'layla Hazeh, the same this night that you're going to be eating the Karban Pesach is the same this night that I'm going to be passing through Mitzrayim. So back in the Gemara, in the Braita, so Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, it says here, B'layla Hazeh, about the mitzvah of eating the Karban Pesach, and it says later, V'avarti b'Eretz Mitzrayim B'layla Hazeh. Mala Halan ad chatzot, afkan ad chatzot. Just like the latter, Laila Hazeh is referring to up to chatzot, because that's when Makat Bechorot is going to start exactly at chatzot. That's when God is going to pass through Mitzrayim. So just like Makat Bechorot is at chatzot, so too the eating of the meat should also be ad chatzot. Amar le Rabbi Akiva. Notice that it's Rabbi Akiva who's discussing this for Elazar ben Azariah, right? So if we're imagining that this conversation is taking place at the Leil HaSeder in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this conversation could definitely reasonably have taken place during that all-night Seder. So Rabbi Akiva responds to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, V'halo kvar ne'emar b'chipazon. Ad sha'at chipazon. Rabbi Akiva says, well, the Pasuk also, sorry, I didn't bold this, but the Pasuk also in Pasuk Yid Aleph also says that they have to eat the Karban Pesach b'chipazon, in a rush. And Rabbi Akiva says, so that means that you can eat the Karban Pesach until the time of rushing comes. And when does the time of rushing come? So Rashi here says, and I have it in parentheses here, Rashi sham nechpazu latzeit v'haynu amud hashachar kidichtiv lo teitzu ish mipetach beitzo ad boker. Right? And so now we're quoting from the psukim, a few psukim later in Shmot, which is here, but whatever. Don't have to go down to it. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, based on the phrase halayla hazeh, believes that the Karban Pesach has to be eaten by chatzot. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Karban Pesach can be eaten until the time when Am Yisrael have to rush. And Am Yisrael don't have to rush until, Rashi says, until Amud HaShachar, until dawn, because Am Yisrael don't actually leave Mitzrayim until dawn. Now this, I'm going to mention it now and come back to this, this actually highlights an interesting dilemma, because it is true that in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Parakid Bet Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kacha tzachlu oto matznechem chagurim na'alechem beraglechem, malkachem beyevchem, va'achaltem oto b'chipazon pesach hu la'Hashem. Right, this is how you should eat it. You should eat it with your gird, whatever, I'm not going to translate the whole Pasuk, right, but you should eat it all like ready to go, shoes on, belts on, staff in your hands, eat it in a rush, Pesach Hu Lashem. As Rashi was pointing out, based on Rabbi Akiva here, it's kind of funny because they're eating the Karban Pesach all night in this rush state, but in reality, there's no rush at all, right? Because in reality, they have been told very clearly that they're not allowed to leave their homes until dawn. So what's the rush? Why are they eating with their shoes on and their sticks in their hands when the reality is that they're not going anywhere for many hours? They're staying put. Okay, so we're going to come back to this. This seems to be really the fundamental machloket between Reza ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, is about the nature of this chipazon, the nature of this rushing. So let's go on to the next passage in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hakol Modim, Kishin Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzayim, Lo Nigalu Ela Ba'erev, Shenamar Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha Mimitzayim Laila, Kishiyatsu Lo Yatsu Ela Bayom, Shenamar Mimacharat HaPesach Yatsu B'nei Yisrael B'yad Ramah. Okay, so Rabbi Abba says, we all agree historically and factually, we know what happened, right? We know that the Geula happened at night, because it says Laila, we'll look at the Pesukim in a minute, and we all know that the actual leaving from Mitzrayim happened during the daytime. Here, Rabbi Abba is actually referring not to the Pesukim in Shmot, he's actually referring, he's referring to Pesukim respectively in Bamidbar and Devarim, two places in the Torah, later in the Torah, where the Torah reflects back on the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and seems to describe it somewhat differently. In Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Gimel. So this is kind of a recap of Am Yisrael's travels from Mitzrayim, and it starts with Perek Pasuk Gimel. Vayisu Miram Seis. The first travel happens b'Chodesh Harishon b'Chamisha Asar Yom l'Chodesh Harishon, on the 15th day of the first month. Mimacharat haPesach Yatzu B'nei Yisrael B'Yad Ramah Le'enei Kol. So the day after the Karban Pesach is given on Yudalid, and Mimacharat, on the next day, which is on the 15th day, that's when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, B'yad Ramah Le'enei Kol Mitzrayim, broad daylights, right in front of, it was a mass parade, right in front of all of Mitzrayim. U'Mitzrayim mekabrim et asher hika Hashem et v'hem kol b'chor, right? And meanwhile, the Mitzrayim are busy, unfortunately, burying their dead, right? Sefer Dvarim, Perek Tetzayin, on the other hand, when Sefer Dvarim reflects back on Pesach, it says, and this is the other Pesach quoted by Rabbi Abba, Shamor et chodesh ha'aviv v'asita Pesach la'Hashem elokecha, ki b'chodesh ha'aviv hotzi'acha Hashem elokecha mi'Mitzrayim, Laila. Right here we have a description of remembering Chodesh Aviv and doing the Pesach ritual, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim at night, right, which seems to completely conflict with the description in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel. But here is actually where Pasuk Gimel goes on to quote our Pasuk of Ben Zoma, which is Lo tochal alav chameit shiva imim tochal alav matzot lechem oni ki chipazon yatzat mitzrayim leman tizkor yom tzitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, which certainly has the yom component here. Now we know yom can mean a 24-hour period, or it can mean daytime, but this these three psukim and devarim seem to relate both to a nighttime and a daily remembering of Yetziat Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Abba is accounting for what seems to be a contradiction between Sefer Bamidbar describing Am Yisrael leaving the next day, whereas Sefer Devarim describing Am Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim at night. So back to Rabbi Abba in the Gemara, Rabbi Abba is saying there isn't actually a debate here. Factually, what happened? We know that the Geula happened at night, and the Yitziah, the actual leaving, happened during the day. Back to the continuation of the Gemara on the end of the second line of that passage. Alma nechleku. So what is the machloket then between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva? Al sha'at chipazon. The machloket is about what chipazon, what hurrying are we commemorating when we eat our Karban Pesach? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah savar ma chipazon, chipazon de Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva savar ma chipazon, chipazon de Yisrael. Rabbi ben Azariah thinks, which chipazon are we commemorating? We are commemorating the chipazon, the hurrying, the rushing of Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians. And Rabbi Akiva thinks that we are commemorating the chipazon of Yisrael, right? Looking at Rashi, chipazon de Mitzrayim, Rashi says, makat habecharim sh'al yadam nechpezu lemaher l'shalcham. When were the Mitzrim rushing? The Mitzrim were rushing in the middle of the night because of makat becharot. They were rushing to rush Am Yisrael, to send them out quickly from Mitzrayim, right? But the chipazon Yisrael, Rashi says, is lo shamu lahem. Let's say ad boker. Yisrael, actually, their response to the chipazon de Mitzrayim in the middle of the night when they're knocking, you know, knocking on Moshe's door and saying, please, please leave, their response is, no, we're not going anywhere. We're staying right where we are until sunrise. We'll leave when we're good and ready. We're not going anywhere. Now, why are they doing that? Because Hashem told them, right, that they're not allowed to leave their homes all night long. So they are waiting till the morning. So Chipazon de Mitzrayim, Elazar ben Azariah says, we want to eat our Karban Pesach at the time of the Chipazon. What he's referring to is the time when Am Yisrael are sitting there all ready to go, but not leaving, right? They're sitting there with their Mitzri neighbors pounding on their doors saying, please get out of here. And they're inside eating their meal at a nice leisurely pace. Yes, it has the chipazon element in that they have to be psychologically ready to go, right? They have their shoes on already and their staffs in their hands, but realistically, they are in no rush at all until Amud HaShachar. And that's when they're allowed to leave their homes. And so then they say, come on, kids, let's go. And like pack up all the kids and they start walking out the door, right? So there's chipazon de Mitzrayim versus chipazon de Yisrael. Look at again at the language Rabbi Abba uses, right? The psukim actually uses the shoresh yetzah in both psukim, in Bamidbar and Devarim. Rabbi Abba uses two different words, right? He says, hakol modim, kishenigalu yisrael mimitzayim, lo nigalu ela ba'erev. Right? The geula, the redemption happened at night, but the yitziah, the physical leaving, happened during the day. Rabbi Abba is actually using different language to distinguish between the chipazon de Mitzrayim and the chipazon of Yisrael. He's distinguishing between the Geula and the Yitziah. There's the actual moment of moving, of leaving, of physically leaving Mitzrayim, but apparently the Geula happens before that. The Geula happens when Am Yisrael are still in Mitzrayim, in their homes. The moment of Geula is actually the moment when they refuse to leave. Right? That's when they're redeemed. When they're Mitzri slave owners say to the slaves, okay, we have a command for you. We are telling you to leave. And it's the first time that Am Yisrael actually defy the command. It's ironic, right? Because their defiance is actually a defiance not only of the Mitzrayim, but it's a defiance of every instinct, every fiber of their being is saying, this is our opportunity, let's go. They're telling us to go, but they are defying their own instincts and they're staying, right? Why are they staying? Because the Mitzrim are no longer telling them what to do. Now it is the Kadosh Baruch Hu telling them what to do. And the moment that they stop answering to the Mitzrim and honestly stop answering to their own instincts is the moment that they're redeemed. I have to share just in the last few minutes here a fantastic anecdote. I was teaching in a Parshat Shavua Shir, Parshat Bo, a few years ago. I was discussing these psukim, and one of the women in my neighborhood, said, I have to tell you about an actual Yitziat Mitzrayim story. And my friend and neighbor told me that her mother, when she was 10 years old, her mother was born in Egypt, and she was 10 years old in 1956 during the Sinai campaign, when the last of the Jewish community fled Egypt in 56 to Israel, or actually not all to Israel, but at that point during the Sinai campaign, most of the remaining Jews in the Egyptian community had applied for exit visas because they were feeling very unwelcome in Egypt, and they had applied for exit visas. And the truth is that applying for an exit visa to go to Israel could have come with an exit visa, like there were people getting exit visas, and it also could have come with an arrest. And they had no idea when they handed in their applications for exit visas what was going to happen. So she said her family, her mother's family, had applied for exit visas on Erev Pesach, and they sat down to their Seder in Egypt on Leil HaSeder with all their bags packed because they just didn't know what was going to happen. There was a real possibility that the police were going to knock on the door and say, okay, here are your exit visas, now get out. And there was a real possibility that they were going to knock on the door and say, you applied for exit visas and we're arresting you. And so they packed all their bags and they sat at their Pesach Seder and they sat with their shoes on and their belts on, and they started their Seder in Egypt. And indeed, there was a knock on the door, and in walked the police. And for reasons which they can't possibly explain, one of her uncles was arrested, and the rest of the family was given exit visas. And that night, they were put on boats, and they ended up in France originally. Then they moved on from there, but they were put on boats to France. And they finished their Seder in France, in France. I don't know exactly what port, but they finished their Seder in France. And she said that was Chipazon. Like, that was the real thing. Anyway, I was kind of blown away by that story. Kind of modern Yitziat Mitzrayim, literally on Tef of Nisan. So that is the moment, right? The moment when they are sitting at their Seder table in Egypt, having applied for the visas and not knowing what it was going to mean for them, right? And rolling it back a couple thousand years, right? In Mitzrayim, that's the moments of Geula. The moments of Geula is Dafka when they refrain from leaving Mitzrayim. And now, to put all the pieces of the puzzle back, that is according to Rav Eliezer ben Azariah, that is why we have to eat our Karban Pesach by the middle of the night, right? Because he is focusing on what happened in the middle of the night. He is focusing on the moment of Geula, not on the moment of physical leaving. That didn't happen until the next day. But he's focusing on that moment when he's saying, imagine what it felt like to be inside their homes, eating their Karban Pesach, knowing that there's havoc in the streets and that the Mitzrayim are begging them to leave, and that every fiber of their being is saying, we should leave right now while we have the chance. We know that Paro has changed his mind before. We should leave because now is our chance, but we can't because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to wait till the morning, right? Imagine the psychology of that moment. And Rav Eliezer ben Azariah says, that's why we finish our Karban Pesach at night, because that's the mental state they were in. They were feeling rushed, even though they knew they had to be there all night, but they were feeling the rush and the tension of Mitzrayim. And that, again, is the moments of real Geula when they defied that tension and that pressure. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you could eat your Karban Pesach all night, because they could eat their Karban Pesach all night because they weren't actually in a rush until the morning, because that's when they actually left. To roll it back then, that is the Malbim is suggesting why Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah originally believed that we have to have on a daily basis, we have to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim in Kriyat Shema night and day, right? Because night and day are both commemorating Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but they're commemorating two different aspects of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. When we mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim during the day, we're actually mentioning the historical fact that Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, because that actually happened during the day. But when we mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night, we are actually relating not to the physical leaving, but to the psychological process of Geula that happened at night. And that's what's happening every single night. When we mentioned Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night, we're discussing the Geula and the psychological process. And every morning, we're discussing the historical reality of having left Mitzrayim. Yes, I would suggest that when we roll this back to the Haggadah, that is, I would say a third reason, right? Why is this passage here, even though this passage actually has nothing to do with Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim at Leil HaSeder? The passage actually has to do with Kriyat Shema. But yes, I do think, I don't remember who said it earlier, but I'm going to agree now with whoever said it earlier, that that's what this passage is ultimately here. Yes, it really might be the discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer might have happened at this Seder in Bnei Brak. Even if it didn't happen that night, it's the same players in the conversation. But ultimately, what this passage reflects does shed light on what we are doing when we are Mesaper B'Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night. And what we are doing is not just commemorating the historical fact of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but especially at night. And here I'm going to refer back again to Rabbi Brander's discussion about the symbolism of night. And being really feeling in the depths of danger, right? And feeling in the depths of galut, right? And that's the experience that we tend to have at night. And that's when we do our annual, right? We're borrowing from the concept of the nightly remembering of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but we're saying that that sheds light on our annual commemoration of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which really does, that really is a good question. Why do we do it at night and not during the day? If Yitzhak Mitzrayim actually happened during the day, that Am Yisrael left during the day, so why don't we have Yom HaSeder instead of Leil HaSeder? And that's perhaps what this passage sheds light on, is why was it so significant that they were Mesaper B'Yitzhak Mitzrayim Kol Oto Halayla? And again, here, another last reference to Rabbi Brander's shir, that it's significant that the players here are contemporaries of Rabbi Akiva, and we're at a very, very challenging time in Galut, and debates about Mered Bar Kokhba and how we should handle the Galut situation that Am Yisrael are in. Like, they're really in the depth of Galut, and really one can imagine that they're commemorating the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim not merely as we're supposed to do, not merely as a historical story, but really as a model of Geula in terms of answering the ultimate questions of how do we in Galut envision Geula, and how actively do we try to bring Geula? What's our role in all this, right? And so here, when they're discussing at night, when they're discussing, what they're highlighting is the nighttime experience of Geula, which is actually the ability to feel and to be redeemed people while they're still in Mitzrayim, right? That's what they accomplished at night. When they were sitting in their homes, eating their Karban Pesach and defying the Mitzrims, begging them to leave, what they were doing was experiencing redemption while they're still in the heart of Egypt, right? And that's what they're doing when they're Mesaper B'Yitzhak Mitzrayim Kol Oto Halayla, and that's what we're doing every year when we're Mesaper B'Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night, is that we are looking at the Geula story, specifically saying, you know, when we need to focus on the Geula story, we need it the most at night. We need it when we're in the heart of Galut. That's when we really need to spend that whole night in Galut learning and thinking and talking and dwelling on what Geula feels like and the psychological experience of Geula, rather than just the historical experience of Geula. Wishing us all can't end without a reference to, in very different ways. I think we're all going to be having a different Leil HaSeder than ever before. And the challenge which Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah presents to us here is the challenge, but also the opportunity of experiencing Geula even in the middle of the night. All right, Chag Sameach, everybody.
Thank you so much, Chag Sameach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Miri. Good morning, Miri.
Thanks.
It's amazing.
It's nice to be here.
Hope you have a great day ahead of you.
Thank you. I hope I did.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, Nomi. How are you doing?
Okay.